You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Married to Medicine After Show.
Okay. Hey, Mama. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. We are here doing another AfterBuzz TV after show. This is for Married to Medicine. It's season 2, episode 6. It's called Textual Healing. I am your host, Michelle Renee, and I am joined with
Jocelyn Polite.
So we are going to recap this episode. It's Mother's Day, and it's fitting because there was a few themes of motherhood in this episode. Lisa Nicole, of course, is kind of battling with her maybe having cancer, which would affect her kids. And then, of course, Jackie deals with wanting to have a baby and the possibilities of adoption. So, yeah, it's appropriate. So let's just jump right into this episode. We start with a continuation of last week's episode, which is at the WINS conference, Lisa Nicole's Women Empowerment Network conference. And Quad and Mariah are having words, arguing. And it gets pretty heated in that they're both emotional and we both see them cry at, you know, different times. So do you think that the tears are real or crocodile tears, or what do you think of that?
I think the tears are real, but, you know, I'm such a softie. But I think they're real. Her voice was kind of trembling. I don't know. I kind of think that's not so easy to do, but who knows? But I think it was real. I think Quad really feels like she lost a friend. Mariah, I don't know if hers were so real. I'm not sure. But I feel like Quad, I know you think the opposite because you probably think that Quad wasn't being real.
Well, what bothers me is the fact that they can cry and get, I mean, number one, like, I'm a grown woman and I don't think I would ever, like, the way they're crying is like they lost their mom or something. Like, they're sobbing, literally, like, sobbing.
Well, they, like, were best friends. They were best friends. They enjoyed each other. They hung out all the time. They finished each other's sentences. They were besties. They talked on the phone all day. I mean, I see what you're saying, though. I mean, are you going to sob like it's
that and in public? Like, maybe if you're talking to your husband later at night and you're recapping the situation with him and you want to just let it all out, okay. But even if you're hurt, I think that you need to just kind of keep it together. And then also it's confusing because they, like, cry and they're so, like, broken up about it, and then, like, 5 seconds later they're, like, cussing each other out. So it's like, okay, are you angry or are you sad? Or
I think it's both. I mean, I don't know. I can't say that I've ever had, I think I've had deep friendships, but I don't know if I've ever sobbed. I've been really hurt, you know, by maybe betrayal or different things that have happened, but I've been sad about it, I've been hurt about it, I've reached out. But I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it was a lot. I mean, it was like full-blown, like, breakdowns of, like, I mean, there was that going on, like, so it was a little. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And also, it's, I wonder, is it, are you upset and crying because you lost a friend and you can't hang out with them anymore? Or because you're scared that you lost all of the perks that came with being their friend?
Well,
because I don't know. I mean, I don't think we have enough information on the situation to kind of evaluate that. But I would definitely say that one of these ladies may be upset more so about the fact that she might be losing out on some, you know, potential circles she could be in or some potential, like, opportunities.
No, I agree.
Because she's not friends.
No, I agree.
So
I that would be Quad, right?
I didn't say it. You did.
That would be Quad because I think that she's the person that would benefit from the relationship the most because Mariah brought Quad in and I didn't say that she made her relevant. I didn't say that, but I'm saying she brought her into the situation and into the circle and onto the show. And so she has, I think, the most to gain and also the most to lose. So, yeah, possibly. I don't know. I mean, it was a lot of sobbing for me, but I don't know. I mean, Quad, I think the drama of it all is just plays into everything, too. But I don't see Mariah falling apart as much. I know she went into the bathroom with I believe Dr. Simone, uh-huh. and she kind of fell apart in there, which was surprising to me because I wasn't expecting that from Mariah. Were you?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I don't expect excited. It from either one of them. I want them both to stop crying.
Okay. Well.
Am I heartless?
No.
Okay. Maybe I am. But they don't make up, obviously. But Dr. Simone and Toya do. So that was refreshing to see. Two thumbs up for them for making up.
That's... Well, they got into it, you know, before about the whole, and I know this was an issue that you were talking about before with mm-hmm. You know, how they use language and Toya specifically and that she's not conjugating verbs
I wasn't here last week to have my moment of glory because I know the fans have kind of been on my case mm-hmm. because of a comment that I made the first after show. But I mean, as you can see, I'm not the only person that noticed it and I'll just leave it at that.
Right. And Dr. Simone made an issue of it and it turned into a little bit of a nasty fight and Toya mm-hmm. was really offended. But I think at the end of the day, Toya said, I just want to be heard. You know, I didn't feel like you heard what I said when I was saying that I didn't like what you did, you know, when you were kind of dancing and twerking on my husband. And I think that Dr. Simone was just offended by the fact that she would think that she wanted her husband in the first place. So I'm glad they resolved that because that issue was kind of getting on my nerves.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's just like... Over. I think they both, I mean, especially Dr. Simone, just kind of realized, like, for what reason? Like, who benefits to keep this drama going? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it's pointless at this point. And I think that as you get older, you have to, a lot of times, be the one to kind of say sorry, even if you don't feel like you did anything wrong, just to, like, make peace.
And move it on.
Yeah,
because you got to move on. You can't be stuck with this twerking on someone's husband situation. Yeah. It's just too much. I mean, it didn't go any further than that. She didn't sleep with your husband. They're not hooking up or calling each other. I mean, stop it. Like, enough already. It's over. Yeah. Move on. So I'm glad to see that they moved on in the Tranquility Room at the Wynn Conference. Appropriate place.
Yeah. someone who obviously doesn't really know how to make situations better, knows how to make them worse, Dr. Heavenly. She jumps right up on stage and just makes herself part of the panel at this conference because she seemed a little bit offended that Lisa Nicole hadn't asked her to be on the panel. And she's like, well, why is Dr. Jackie on the panel? Like, I have this business and that business and I'm a doctor and a mother and yada, yada, yada. So she hops right up on stage. I know you have something to say about
that. I do. I thought it was a bold move.
Yes.
And I just thought it was nervy of her. I mean, what is she doing? This conference has been planned out. Lisa Nicole knows exactly who she wants her panel to be. And then here she comes just walking up there like, you know, I have a radio show. I have several practices. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, why was I not on the list? And Lisa Nicole, I thought, handled it with a lot of class.
She did.
With a lot of class because she was, I haven't really gotten to know you very well. You know, so that's the reason why. We're just meeting. We're just getting to know each other. So, I don't know. I was proud of Lisa in that moment. But Dr. Heavenly, and then her speech wasn't even that great.
Yeah. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. Number one, I was super proud of Lisa Nicole. I don't know. She's kind of growing on me. I didn't really care for her when she first came on the scene. But now she's kind of growing on me. She's really pretty. So, yeah, that's the only reason I like her. But no, I like her character. And she did. She handled it really well, even like coming up with kind of the ad lib to explain why this lady isn't on the program, why she just... You know, stole someone else's seat, I guess, at the panel. But I think it was good because, I don't know, there's like a saying that's like, give them enough rope to hang themselves or something like that. And I think this was a prime example of that situation because Dr. Heavenly got up there and made a complete fool of herself. Like, just Google me and you'll see.
Yeah, and she ended with Google me. Who does that? I mean, you should be telling people where you're coming from. You should be telling people who you are and how, you know, what you have to offer and how you've become the woman that you've become. I mean, this is the Wynn Conference. This is about empowerment. And she's just like, Google me. Like, I don't have enough time to run my resume down to you, so Google me.
Google me, yeah.
Kind of rude.
So, I mean, she made herself look like a fool, so in the end. And Lisa Nicole still.
She came out shining.
Yeah, she came out shining. She looked good. So that's pretty much it for the Wynn Conference. That wraps up.
You know what was interesting? I have to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
The hug at the end.
Oh, yes. I put that down. Do you think they should have hugged or not?
If it wasn't genuine, no.
No.
If it wasn't genuine, if you really... I'm not a big hug person if I don't really feel like... I need, you know, if I'm not feeling that hug situation, well, I'll hug you because I care about you. But I'm saying, like, if it's somebody that I'm mad at and I'm, you know, and I'm not feeling them, It's just really, I don't know. I mean, I guess that goes to how fake you can really be. I'm having a problem with it.
But I think sometimes it makes it better, though. Like, when you're like, you don't want to hug someone and you're being stubborn and people are like, just hug. And you just hug and then you like bust out laughing and you're like, oh, okay.
Sometimes that can happen.
Yeah.
I can see that.
So yeah. But I think both of them are too stubborn for that to happen. But I'm just saying, in general, I think that sometimes it can make it better.
Well, I thought it was funny because they were talking about the circle. We are the circle. We are the circle. And we're this circle. And then the circle wasn't closed. It was a big U. You know what I mean? It was not a circle. And Mariah was just like, I'm not hugging. It seems like Quad would have accepted a hug, though.
Quad would have. Yeah. And Mariah's like, No, it's too soon. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Quad, you know, maybe would be quicker to mend the fence because she has more to gain than Mariah does.
Well, yeah. I mean, Mariah is a pretty cool person to be friends with.
Yeah.
I'd be a friend.
I just want to say that same thing. We can both be a friend. Mariah, if you're looking for any new friends, hey, don't forget about us. You know,
no
here
new
in LA.
Friends, no new.
She's got a lot going on.
She does. I can babysit your kids.
No? Yeah.
Okay. So, Dr. Jackie and Simone, they are in Dr. Jackie's office and they're talking a bunch of medical talk that no one understood, but
what
I love that
about? I don't know what balls and ablations but I loved watching it was really interesting.
It was, and I love their friendship. Like, they discuss what happened at the WIN conference or whatever, and you know, Dr. Jackie just pretty much like criticizes Simone and is like, you just need to shut up.
She
and
gave
like
her
writes
prescription.
Her a fake prescription to like shut up. And I just love their friendship. I think they have a genuine friendship. And I didn't necessarily see that last season with Quad and Mariah. So maybe that's why it's so difficult for me to understand why they're so upset about the end of this friendship that we never really saw. Like, if Dr. Jackie and Simone had a falling out.
Oh, wow.
That I can understand them sobbing. Because we actually see them being true friends, like talking about true issues on the show. Mm-hmm. Not just like fashion and the latest like lingo and, you know,
supporting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do support each other. And not only just socially, but they support each other, you know, through their practice. I mean, they both are they both practice the same medicine, the same type of medicine, being OBGYNs. And, you know, they go to each other's office. You know, they know when the other is stressed out and when they need relief. And so it's a real friendship. So, yeah, you're right. If I saw their friendship break up, it would be
disheartening.
It would be disheartening.
I would be sad.
Yeah.
They talk about adoption. And Dr. Simone says, hey, I just had a patient come in. She's an adoption counselor or something. And, you know, I want you to talk to her about possibly adopting.
Which was a turn, I think, for Dr. Yes. Simone, because I know before when Dr. Jackie brought up wanting to have a child, Dr. Simone was like, no, I don't think it's a good idea. You're too busy. You've got too much going on. You know, it's not a good idea. So I was a little surprised to see that she actually brought up this adoption counselor and for her to talk to the adoption counselor. I was kind of surprised about that. But again, that goes back to the fact that they're friends. So maybe you say something to your friend and then you think about it and you go, you know what? This is something she really wants. So why not?
Yeah. And I think as a good friend, it's important that she gives her all parts of the, you know, situation and really lets her know not only what she wants to hear, which is, adopt a child, have a baby, but it's also what she needs to hear. Hey, this is going to be difficult. You're busy. This is going to be hard. So I think ultimately, even though she did come off a little bit insensitive when she said that a few episodes ago, that ultimately she probably was doing it just to make her friend aware that it's not all, you know.
Yeah, it's not rosy.
Roses and sunshine.
No, it's not. It's a serious process. And I know we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, a little bit later.
It's definitely a serious process. But, I mean, I thought it was great that she brought it to her. And so, you know, I'm glad that Dr. Jackie's exploring it. I mean, if this is something she wants, go for it.
Go for it. You think?
I mean, well, what is she going to do? Deny that she wants this? You know what I mean? She can't deny that this is like a yearning and she wants to have a child, you know? And so I don't know if it's the best situation. You know, I mean, you can find all kind of different reasons not to do a lot of different things, but I think just as a woman and as a woman that's been through some difficulties medically, I just think in the end, she wants a child. And so I believe, you know, if that's what you want, then go for it. Or at least explore the options. Okay, maybe not.
Well, what I think, and I want to try to say this as, like, you know, non-offensive as possible, is what do you think of her and her husband being a little bit older and having and adopting a child? Do you think that's unfair to a child?
Well, I think today people are older having children anyway. I mean, I think we're past the time that people are only in their 20s having babies. I think that there are women that are 40, 42 that are having babies. I mean,
well, how old is Dr. Jackie? Because I'm getting 50s. Well, and I'm, that's no shade. But I think she's in her early 50s, maybe.
Okay.
Late 40s.
I didn't know. Okay. You might be right. I mean, you might be right.
Okay. I mean, I just say this because I come from a place where I was my mother's last child, and she had me when she was 40. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, my mom is, you know, still alive. She's still in good health. She, you know, she's in her 60s now. I'm in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I think, like, okay, well, my brother, and I've already said this before, I think, on this after show, but some of my brothers and sisters, like, that she had when she was younger, like, ultimately, they're going to have more time with her. Like, she knows their kids and their grandkids and stuff like that. And it's like, what if I don't have a kid for, like, you know, I'm just saying, yeah. I feel like I miss out, or maybe could potentially miss out on things down the road if my mom were to pass away, or she does pass away, because she will. That's a sad realization. But it's,
well, I think that, okay, Mother's Day today. Mother's Day, let's bring it back up.
But Mom, I love you. Happy Mother's Day, Lynn.
I really do. Lynn, happy Mother's Day. I really do think that, I don't think you can live life like that. I really think that you have to live life, because you never know what can happen. You can have a baby at 25 and something terrible and tragic happen, and you lose your life at 35 or at, you know, at 40. So you just never know. And I think for Dr. Jackie, I mean, they are older. Maybe adoption would be best for them, and maybe not an infant.
That's what I'm thinking.
There are a lot of children out there that are, you know, 10, 11, 12, mm-hmm. 13 that need parents. So I don't know if she's open to that. It seems like, I think she wants to have, you know, a fresh start. She wants that.
Goodbye, baby. Yeah, I agree. Because even like playing with the kid outside, or, you know, you're not going to be able to run around. I mean, you will be. He seems pretty athletic. They're still playing basketball and stuff, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, they can run around. I don't know.
Maybe that was a negative Nancy.
It's not a negative thing of me to point out.
I was just being devil's advocate.
No, I think it's a real issue. I think it's a real issue that I mean, it's, I don't believe that that's something that hasn't crossed her mind, that, you know, they are an older couple, and how is this going to work and all that kind of stuff. And am I going to be able, with my schedule and my health and everything, going to be able to, you know, run behind a toddler at 2 and 3 years old that's everywhere, you know, that type of thing. But I don't know. I'm this type of person where I feel like, I'm one of those go for it type of people, and I just feel like, go for it.
I think ultimately, if I were in her situation, I would probably go for it too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Well, someone that does have kids and is very worried about them on this, it was a terrible segue, but Dr. Lisa, she's not a doctor.
Yeah, okay. Lisa Nicole.
All right. I just upgraded her today,
she gave her a degree.
Lisa Nicole, you know, is in her house before her cyst aspiration with her kids and assistant, and she is getting ready, you know, to go have this procedure done. And, you know, she's visibly upset. She's crying. She's trying to keep it together for the kids, though. And I really loved them showing, like, the relationship that her kids have with God. That to me is, I don't know, I think really important, and that she's, like, raising them
To pray and to believe in God.
I don't know. I liked that, because I don't think we see enough of that TV these days. So,
well, sometimes it can be insulting to some people that don't. Well, I know your eyes got big.
I know. Like, but, no, well, I be insulted. Okay,
well,
wait.
I think it's insulting to some people, that are maybe from different religions, and their gods or other, you know, they call their God something else. I don't know. Or maybe they're, you know, they don't believe in God. I think possibly that's why people like to stay away from the whole religious thing. Like, don't discuss politics and religion. God forbid. Well, I said God. But I think that that's the reason why you don't see it. But there are a lot of families that do believe in God, and they pray, and there's people that pray with their children. I just thought it was a beautiful moment, and I thought her children praying with her before she goes to the doctor, I mean, I liked it, and I like seeing that her children were, like, concerned and worried, and that they handled it in that way.
Yeah. So, I don't know, anything else about that scene? Well, they kind of revisit it. They do that, like, split scene thing. Yeah. I hate when they do that, but...
Well, I think we just got a chance to, in getting to know Lisa Nicole, I like her. I really do like her. I didn't start off not liking her, but I definitely just didn't know her. You know, remember, I think I said something about she ran a resume down and kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But I actually really do like Lisa Nicole, and I like seeing her vulnerability. Like, I really did. I mean, I know she's going through a tough thing, getting ready to go to this, you know, doctor's visit and find out if she's got malignant cysts or if they're benign. But I like seeing the human side of her. She was upset, and she wasn't trying to hide it. She cried. You know, she tried so hard not to cry in front of her kids. But, you know, once she was, I believe, getting ready in the bathroom and her assistant was helping her, you know, she let it all out. I like her.
Yeah. I don't know if she always, maybe she should, I don't know. It's not like she was going in to have like a, what's it called? Mastectomy?
Mastectomy. She wasn't having, I don't know.
She could have maybe not told the kids until after she got back. After she found out.
My mom wouldn't have told me. Not at that age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a little young.
They are young. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, she didn't tell him like, hey, I might die soon. So no. She did, you know, kind of sugarcoat it.
She said, I'm going to the doctor to see. I don't even know if she really went deeply into it.
She said, I think, I get a checkup. I'm getting a checkup.
Which that's fine. And that's enough for kids that age.
Okay. So. Well, Dr. Jackie talks about birth control with the patient. We see a little bit of something there. And they talk about tying tubes and stuff. And then, do you have anything to say about that scene?
Because I'm going to go ahead.
I was going to tie it back to...
Well, yeah, they were talking about the whole tying the tubes together. I mean, you know, and all of her options for birth control. And this woman had, what, four kids?
Four kids.
And she didn't want to have any more kids. And I felt like Dr. Jackie was kind of like, are you sure? She was kind of pushing her like, do you want to... I mean, I understand she's in the business of people having babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. And they want people to have babies. But I don't know. I just kind of felt like, I think her personal issues, and I know, you know, I'll probably get reamed for this one, but her personal issues, I feel like, are starting to come out in her office, because it was just like, I wish I could have that problem where, you know, if that was the case, I'd have four babies running around my house, you know, because this woman was done. She was like, I don't want to have a fifth child. I can't afford it. You know, the money. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Jackie's like, are you sure? She's like backing out of the office. Like, are you sure? Are you sure? You know, so I was like, ooh, Dr. Jackie.
Yeah. Well, I think it can maybe be that, but I think also a lot of women do, you know, say, I want my tubes tied, and then later they go back and maybe regret that decision because they do it when they're younger, and then they have all these childbearing years left when, you know, the kids are grown and out of the house, so they're not even paying for them anymore. So it's not going to always be an issue of finances, and then when you have empty nest and you still are like 35, because I mean, the lady looked relatively young.
She did look young.
Yeah. When you still can pop out one more and you've got your tubes burned off, you're going to maybe be like, oh, well, I shouldn't have done that.
Exactly. Because you might be experiencing a little empty nest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe you do want to have a baby a little later. Or she might want to have a baby in like 6 years or 7 years.
Yeah.
But this woman seemed like she was completely done, though. But,
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think there's a lot of people that kind of... Because I don't even think they'll do it if you're a certain age. I don't think that, like, doctors will tie your tubes or burn them or whatever if you're, like, under.
Oh, if you're too young.
If you're too young.
So that you don't know your options.
Even if you have however many kids.
Wow.
Some of them won't do it.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I did like about this little part of the show. You did get to learn all the different birth control. I mean, not that we don't know. I mean, I know many of us know, but I was just like, oh, that's interesting. Because she went into exactly how, you know, you get your tubes tied and that there's clamps and things are burned. And I was like, oh, so it was like a little lesson for me. I like kind of liked it. I didn't know all that.
Well, guys, head over to iTunes, rate and comment. Tell us which method of... tying tubes you prefer. No. Just kidding. But tell us what you think of the after show, of course. Let us know if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. We do read your comments and, you know, we take them into consideration for next show. So moving on to the second half of Lisa Nicole's cyst aspiration, she finds out that she doesn't have cancer. And it's more medical talk because we just talked about burning tubes and tying tubes, which... Personally, I kind of cringed a little bit. Like, my ovaries kind of were, like, screaming. Like, help me. Not ovaries. That's not the part that...
Well, no. I mean, I kind of grabbed. Tubes. I was like, okay, right.
But my fallopian tubes were kind of like, you know, during that whole conversation. And then my boobs also were kind of, like, screaming on this one because she's talking about, like, oh, it was like popping grapes. And they
were just
putting a needle in there and, like, popping the fluid that was in there.
Right.
So I was like, ooh.
There was a bunch of cysts and they were fluid filled, which I'm assuming was good in this case that it was fluid filled and maybe not like a hard mass. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm talking about, but okay.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
But she said that they were popping them like grapes and I didn't know they did that. So I'm saying this was educational today, you guys. I learned a lot.
Also kind of a little painful. Like, ooh, that sounds like it hurts.
Yeah, but you know what? I think if you find out you don't have cancer,
you really don't care.
You're like, pop away. Go.
Yes. Pop those grapes.
So, I mean, I think she's probably like, who cares? But when they were explaining it, and then her husband, which I thought was really funny in the very beginning, her husband was just kind of talking like, yeah, everything is fine. And I'm sitting there going, isn't he a doctor? Like, I'm waiting for all the medical talk to come with him. But he did kind of kick it up and then bring in the medical talk, which I appreciate.
I'm going to be a Debbie Downer again. Uh-oh. Okay, they seem to be very relieved that she doesn't have cancer. And I'm like, okay, great. I'm like happy that she doesn't. But they seem to... they just kind of write it off to me and are like, oh, well, I don't have cancer. Like, I'm out of the clear. And I think she even asks her husband, like, I should be good, right? And he's like, yeah, you're fine. But I would think that since her mother had breast cancer, she would maybe be at a higher risk and she'd kind of like keep an eye on it. But They seem so sure the fact that she wasn't going to have any reoccurring episodes.
Well, I
think how do they know that?
I think at that particular moment, they were trying to remain positive because I did hear her husband say everything should be fine, you know, but she's going to have to stay under watch.
Okay.
If it came there before, it can resurface. It can come back again. She can get the same cyst, I'm assuming, and the same. I don't see why she wouldn't. So her husband did kind of allude to that a little bit in the car, but I think, you know, I think with anything, when you get the good news, you know,
you just don't want to think about negative.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
So,
but I thought, I mean, she didn't even say the radiologist or oncologist or whatever told her to like come back for checkup. I mean, maybe she just left that part out. Maybe it was edited out, but I would at least think, I would at least agree that like, yes, okay, you're in the clear now, but just to be safe, because you do have a family history, we're going to need to check you every 6 months, every year. Whatever.
Right.
You're going to need to get 2 mammograms a year instead of one or something, you know?
Well, maybe she'll come back around with Dr. Jackie and maybe talk about it. Because I bet you that's information that she did receive at this visit that, you know, we need to keep a watch on you. But I just think that she got back in that car and her husband, and they were just going down the road just happy. That it was, you know, that it was benign and that it wasn't a problem. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt on that.
Well, I'm definitely happy for her, too. Like, that's awesome. I can't even imagine. Like, that would be terrible. But, Dr. Jackie meets, on a more positive note, Dr. Jackie meets with an adoption counselor who has adopted like 700 kids.
Yeah, she had a lot of kids, huh?
Yeah, and she seemed to not mind.
No, she had two, I believe, that Dr. Simone delivered. Mm-hmm. In between those two, she adopted four?
Four.
Mm-hmm. Four, and then and recently, one, a possible. She, right, she has guardianship of one right now that she's probably looking to adopt.
So that's seven total.
Seven kids.
So she, that paycheck as an adoption counselor must be fat if she can afford all those kids. Because we got the one lady saying she can't afford four, and then she got 14.
She's got 14. Should we be adoption counselors?
I don't know. If you're looking to switch professions. Yeah, but yeah, but I think that to adopt, especially when you can have kids, I think that that's a calling.
Yes.
Or you know, you're fulfilling a purpose. I think it takes a special person. I don't think it would be for everybody.
No.
But, I mean, kudos for her. If she can do that, and she seems like she's so into it, maybe she said something negative, and maybe it was edited out, but she seemed so happy. Like, no, I'm the real mom. I'm the one that kisses the boo-boos, and I'm the one that takes them to the doctor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for her, and good for other people out there like her that adopt kids and give, because there's so many kids that need homes.
Oh my gosh, there's tons of kids in foster care. Yeah. They need homes. They're not going to be returning to whatever that situation was with their biological parents. So they do need to be, and they don't want to, you know, we don't want kids, we don't want kids to stay in foster care until they're 18 years old. You want them to have a permanent home. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's why I don't understand. I don't know all the logistics of it, but I don't understand why adoption is so expensive. Like, why you have to pay so much money to like give a kid a home. Because I think that's probably a deterrent for like a lot of people that maybe want to adopt. They can't afford it.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
I think it's the type of adoption that you do. I mean, if you're going to adopt and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to go through the state of California or state of Georgia, and I'm going to adopt one of the children that's in need, that's possibly in foster care, part of the system, I don't believe it's that expensive.
It's not that expensive. Okay.
Right. But if you're talking about, going through the process of adopting a child that someone is having and you're waiting for that child, then that's expensive.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because you got to pay for those medical bills. Exactly. Everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So which that's where I think is
a little bit unfair. Like that's, I don't know. I feel like there would be maybe some moral issues with that. You're selling a baby.
It's kind of like you're buying. Right. Exactly. But we don't, you're not supposed to say that. you're not supposed to say that.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And let's even take it a step further. Some people adopt from other countries. That's even more expensive.
Even more. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Wow. Well, I don't know. I might have to. I mean, I don't know. I've never tried to have a baby, so I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
I might have to adopt one day. Who knows? But, right. I'm just going to get one from the state, though, because I ain't hanging on there.
I'm just going to go down the street and get one. Right.
I'm going to go somewhere. Y'all ain't taking my coins. I'm going to have to raise the kid and pay for the college and everything.
All right. I know, right? Shoot. It's like I had to pay all this money to get you. I love you. You're here.
Joking,
I love you.
Guys. I'm just joking. It's all jokes. But, so yeah, we already discussed kind of some of the, issues that may happen with her having a baby. We discussed her being a little bit older earlier. I mean, how did you think the meeting went overall?
Well, I was looking for her husband. Mm-hmm. I kind of have an issue with him not being in the fold. Where's Curtis? Curtis needs to be a part of this process, but I think Dr. Jackie might be the type of person that you know, she needs to take control of it first before she brings it to Curtis. I'm assuming that that's what she was doing. But yeah, he needs to be a part of this whole process from the very beginning, because the last time that we saw Curtis and they were playing basketball together and she brought the picnic basket, he wasn't feeling any of it.
Why do you think he is apprehensive to adopt a child? This is all speculation. We have no, we don't know, but yeah. What would you think?
I just think that he's probably just gotten to the point where he just doesn't need that. I think that he's content exactly where he is. I don't think that he even wants to see the strain on her. You know, he's gone through all of this with her, with cancer and everything else. I think he understands that this is what she wants. But, I mean, I'm not in their family, but I definitely think that he probably knows that this is a stress level that's going to be put on her. It's going to be stressful. You know, an infant, a child, a toddler. I mean, growing up, that's a lot. Plus, she's got her practice. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of him that's probably like, you know, I'm 50-something years old, and I don't really want to have an infant in the house crying and screaming and running around, and I got to baby-proof the house. I think he's just over it.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my opinion of it. I don't know. Could be totally wrong. But
yeah, I don't know. But I don't know. Quad and Rico. I didn't have a good segue for that one. But Quad and Rico, they go look for fabric in the last scene of this episode. And I don't like Rico.
You don't like
He's
Rico?
He's messy.
Yeah, he is. Well, you know, the one thing I did like about Rico, though, he put Quad to work. That was hilarious. Her carrying fabrics around, like, in her heels, and she's running all around in her heels and trying. That was pretty funny. It's like, you know, come dress down and get to work, you know. But I think she's still trying to be Miss Quad and do, you know, this fabric thing. And it's like, no, you're in this puppy couture clothing line. You know, you have to get in these fabric places and you got to haul things, and that's what she's got to do. So I kind of liked him for that. But I understand that he's a bit messy.
Yeah, he's stirring the pot, and I just think that that's not helpful in this situation. And I think that Quad needs to realize, hey, it seems like he has a vendetta and gets Mariah for whatever he did to her. I mean, whatever she allegedly did to him. I think he still has a vendetta. And so he's trying to use Quad as a way to kind of embarrass Mariah or get back at her or whatever. And I think Quad is just feeding into it instead of realizing that he doesn't have her best interest at heart, or the best interest of her and Mariah's relationship at heart, when he's like, hey, send this text and invite her to the show.
Yeah. Well, they have two totally separate issues. It sounds like the things that he's upset with Mariah about are kind of, I mean, I don't want to say petty because I don't know the full story, but it's, you know, he's like, she won't wear my clothes. You know, I guess he has a clothing line, or he's a designer, so he has a clothing line, and she won't wear his clothes, you know, the clothes that he's designed. I don't know what's happened between them, but Quad's issue with her is totally different, and it's separate, and he seems to be, like, meshing it together. I think it's really messy for him to say that, like, she rents her house and doesn't own it. Like, why would you say
that?
And,
like, tell her to bring a donation if she can't come.
Yeah, it just got, it got really messy, but I'm glad that Quad invited her, but you didn't
I don't think she should have invited her.
No.
This is, from what I understood, it's someone else's charity event, right?
That's
charity
right.
fashion
yeah,
show.
Yeah, it's the breast cancer awareness fashion show.
Women of Atlanta or something. That Quad is walking in. So it's a fundraiser for something that's a pretty serious issue. Like, there's going to be a lot of well-known people in Atlanta there, I'm assuming.
Right.
This isn't your event. This is not a backyard barbecue that you're having. This is a fashion show that someone or a group of people is going to put a lot of time, effort, and money into putting on.
Right.
And you're going to invite someone that you have active drama with, essentially, so there can be drama and so y'all can get into a fight.
Right.
She knows it's
well,
not going
to well, Rico set her up for that. Rico was like, you need to call her and invite her. You know, I don't think, was Quad even trying to invite her to begin with? I don't remember her
well,
really.
Well, I think Quad asked him, do you think?
Should she?
She should.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why would you? No, you shouldn't.
The WIN conference was terrible. It didn't work out. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you need to extend an olive branch, but maybe you're right. I didn't think of the fact that this isn't her event, so why would you invite her?
Yeah. No, I agree with extending an olive branch. And like I said, like we talked about earlier with Simone and Toya, at some point, one person has to be the person to kind of say, let's let bygones be bygones, or let's at least discuss the issue and then decide if we're going to let bygones be bygones. But with that being said, you do that over dinner, over coffee.
Yeah, not at a fashion show.
I send you a text and say, hey, I know we haven't been getting along. Let's have dinner and discuss.
Right.
But not, I mean, no, this is not going to end well. They know. They know what they're doing.
They can have another brawl.
Yeah. Like, come on. When have you ever, on all these reality shows, when has it ever ended well when someone tries to mend fences at a public gathering?
Yeah, it's probably not going to go well.
Never.
And And we saw some previews, so it's probably not, but we can get into that.
All right. So, I mean, with that, anything else from the episode that we missed?
No, I think not. I wanted to just bring up a couple of little fun facts about Quad.
All right. So, some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay. So, two things about Quad. OK Magazine pinned her star quality and made for reality TV.
Okay.
And the New York Times sees a spinoff in the near future. What do you think about that?
Her Quad. What's the spinoff going to be based on?
Her and her husband and her puppies.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah. I can't say that I will be watching. I'll have to see the sizzle reel that they throw together and see if that's intriguing. Because just based off that description, I'm good.
Right. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I thought, hey, you know, OK Magazine, and it was one thing. But then I saw the New York Times. I was like, oh, OK, well, here we go.
In the New York Times?
Yeah.
Is this what we've come to as a society?
This is what we've come to.
OK, that's disheartening.
Quad needs a spinoff in the New York Times.
That's disheartening.
Yeah,
That was a wasted line in the New York Times. But shade.
We never know what may happen. I mean, you know, it's Bravo. People get spinoffs.
All right,
party
they do.
For the party.
They do. So. Mayor Danini, or what was it? No, Mayor Demet. No, wait, no, I'm off. I dream of Nini.
I dream of Nini. That's what I'm right, exactly. So other things have happened. We never know. I don't really see it either, but we'll see.
All right. Well, we get into some predictions.
Ooh.
Some more predictions. We predict our show
now,
is going to.
You're after Buzz.
Ooh, we got lighting. Okay, I'm going to go right in. I predict a fight. So in these last few episodes, somebody's going to fight physically.
Physical. Okay.
I see a fight coming. Maybe at this fashion show. I'm not sure, but I feel a physical fight, and I don't even know who it's between. I don't know if it's going to be Mariah and Quad. I don't know if it's going to be someone else that has to do with them, maybe Rico involved, but I feel some physical stuff happening soon.
I'm going to say, which we've already touched on a little bit, but I think that the tension between Dr. Simone and her husband is going to kind of surface next episode, and it's of course only going to get worse as the season goes on.
Oh, I want to see them together. They were so
I know
cute.
They were so cute were on cute that little tonight. That little short clip they yeah. always do, and they were talking about the like him answering the phone. That was cute.
It was cute, but then
but
we'll see.
So yeah, that's our AfterBuzz TV predictions. Where can they find you, Jocelyn?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jocelyn Polite.
And I am your host, Michelle Renee. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michelle Renee TV. And English, we'll see her next week.
Yeah.
You can find her at Pink English.
And English Speaks.
Yes. All right.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.